This is the Seahawkers Podcast, episode 380. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers, and joining me, my good buddy and Montana Seahawker, Adam Emmert.
Welcome home, buddy. I know it was a long vacation trip out to the coast. Mm-hmm. How you feeling, man? Good to be home?
Happy to be home and happy to be behind my normal microphone, my normal setup, and happy to be recording this show. When we take a week off of this show, now, everybody who is subscribed to the show now, they had a show every single day. So maybe they didn't miss us, but I missed us.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know I missed us too. But as far as everybody else, I think that's maybe a little so-so reaction there. Like, yeah, kind of. I mean, you were gone, I noticed, but, you know, we were also entertained by Clinton and Phil and Wilson and everybody else. So, yeah.
All good things. But we got a lot to get into with our first preseason game with the Seahawks taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. We got another preseason game coming up today as you're hearing this against the Chicago Bears. And yeah. I guess the most disappointing thing to get to first is that we were going to have Drew Lock competing with the first team against the Bears in this game on the home field. And now we're not going to see that because Drew got the vid.
Catfish! COVID. God, that just screwed up my whole last video I put up, my hot take about how Drew really needed to start this next game. And then COVID screwed up my deal. And it's all about me, not about how Drew feels, not about the team, but it screwed up my video and my hot take. And that's why I'm so mad about it. But it kind of is a giant bummer because I honestly think that that kind of is the nail in the coffin for Drew starting week one. That's for darn sure. Like, I think Pete will definitely run with this and be sure that Geno is the starter because now Drew's behind and he hasn't had as many reps and he didn't get that first team look. And right. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, maybe Drew shouldn't have just gotten COVID then. Maybe he should have avoided that before his first big game.
My goodness. Has there been a quarterback who's been more affected by COVID in terms of trying to win a starting gig?
I don't know. I don't keep track of them all, but it's definitely a bummer. It's a bummer for Drew. I mean, you said that it kind of puts the nail in the coffin in terms of his ability to start. I think it was going to be an uphill battle for him anyway, but this would have been the time for him, obviously, to show it, maybe build some momentum with the idea among fans. But again, I don't think it was going to happen. And we can get into what we saw from both the quarterbacks in the game against the Steelers. It's a bummer that as fans, we don't get to see the true competition. Whereas I think they can hammer that out in practice. And ultimately, like I've said before, I think Drew's going to end up starting once we get 4 or 5 weeks into the season anyway.
It better not be that late. I mean, the more and more I've gone back, I've watched that preseason game now like 3 times.
Really?
Yes, because I really wanted to be sure that I was seeing what I thought I saw. And yeah. I know you're more of a Geno truther. So let's start with how you felt about Geno's performance in that game.
I thought Geno's performance was fine. I mean, it got off to a bit of a slow start, but I think part of that was their ability to convert on third down, obviously. I thought he made some nice throws. The couple of throws that he had to Fant along the right side, you know, he had the one where he rolled out. He had the one from the pocket, which Fant didn't get his feet down. The pass over the middle to Cade Johnson to set him up for the touchdown at the end of the first half was good.
That was his best.
And I thought, well, that whole drive was his best drive. I was impressed with that 2-minute drive. And I think that drive there is what you would point to and say, okay, well, his ability to manage the 2-minute offense and look good doing that would be what puts him over the top, at least from this first game against the Steelers.
Well, cool. If you want to see a hell of a lot more of what we've been seeing for the past 10 years offensively, and I know you don't because it drives you crazy, of struggle, 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 struggle bus, 2-minute drive. Hey, we're kind of sort of back in it so that we can claw our way back through the end of the game. That's exactly what you were getting out of Geno in this offense. Whereas Drew came in and started lighting it up right out of the gate. See, I was so frustrated by the third down conversions or lack thereof.
Sure.
And the just 3 points going into that 2-minute drive down 17-3. Like, what the hell, man? Like, that was so frustrating. That's the same old crap that we're looking to hopefully move on from here. And That's what Gino is giving you. Same old, same old.
I don't know if it's completely fair, though, to say that the offense is going to look exactly like that, because Tyler Lockett's going to be out there. DK Metcalf's going to be out there. So he's going to have, he was going up against the first teamers on defense early on for the Steelers. Now, not TJ Watt and Cam Hayward, obviously, but the rest of the guys were out there. And so I have to at least rank it with that respect, or think of it in that regard, that, okay, he didn't have all his starting guys. Penny not out there either. And unfortunately, it sounds like we're going to be relying more on Penny now that Ken Walker has a hernia, which,
yeah.
How did Pete characterize it? Like a little hernia thing?
A little hernia thing. Yeah. Yeah. Not.
Yeah. Just one of those little hernia things that you just need a couple weeks for it to heal on its own, right?
Yeah, that's what he was trying to claim there. I imagine that means some sort of, it's honestly a fairly minor surgery and should be back relatively quickly. But good God, it's just, could we just have our top two backs healthy for like more than two games at a time? Could we please? Is that really that much to ask for?
Yeah, you wonder how snake bit this team is with its running backs when it's not any kind of injury, like a soft tissue injury. This is a hernia. That's probably not something that you can point to and say, well, if Ken Walker would have conditioned better, he wouldn't have had a hernia.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just one of those freaky things. And when did this happen? I mean, did it happen in the game? Because none of us seemed to notice it. He looked dynamite in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was super impressive. He is so shifty. His ability to change gears and cut on a dime and all that stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. So that part was fun. I think Gino with the full capacity on offense. Again, I would have liked to see Drew in that too, to have kind of an apple to apples comparison, but we're probably not going to get that. So we have to go with what we have.
Yep.
You said it was kind of the same old offense with Gino. Well, in results. Yeah. In terms of the results, but I also thought it was kind of the same old Pete Carroll offense that we've seen over the years. None of the Shane Waldron Rams type stuff that was involved. It was weird to me because when Drew came in, I saw the team going in motion a lot more, a lot of misdirection type stuff. And so I thought it was more set up for Drew to have success under the new Waldron offense, in that they were running those types of plays. That was the thing that stood out to me when I saw Drew come in.
Yeah, you saw a couple mesh concepts, a couple levels concepts. They had the quick out to Bo Melton to start things off, right? And
that's what really sprung that first touchdown drive, was that Melton, that wasn't any kind of amazing throw by Drew, other than that, you know, he hosted out there to the sideline and Melton made a guy miss and then, you know, was off to the races.
Saw it, read it, and threw it quick.
Right.
I mean, yeah, and that's all. That's all. Although you want,
I will say, right? I think that he throws that pass out to the flat faster than Russ ever did.
Oh God. Yeah. By a lot. I think he's got the screen game down better than Russ ever did. It's just a difference in game. Now Russ has done obviously 1,000 things better than Drew Lock throughout his career. So I'm not trying to sit here and tell
Drew Lock's better. I'll take one better thing.
Sure. Yeah, some of his stuff over the middle I thought was great. I mean, obviously that throw to Parkinson, I was a little disappointed because I thought I was going to be all like breaking news, like that was his best throw and like have a really hot take. And then after I threw out my video, I noticed that some dude from Field Goals had written an article saying that his best throw was an incompletion and it was that one. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, they showed it on replay 15 times, so I think we all saw it.
Right. Right. But it was just super impressive up and over the linebacker and everything and the decision making. What I really liked out of Drew was he took that quick look to his one or two deeper routes really quickly. And if it wasn't there, he instantly went to checking it down and getting it to the right guy and not taking those risks. And that's the big thing we needed to see out of him in terms of feeling comfortable with him, maybe possibly starting at some point, was the risk management stuff. Because he hasn't been good protecting the football, and he actually has been when there's been actual real live bullets flying around him here in the mock game and then in week one of the preseason.
Well, except in the preseason when he gets sacked from behind and then gives up the football in the 2-minute part of the game. So that's why
with the third string tackle, you bet. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, I don't know if it was the tackle's fault. He looked like he knew where he was going. The only thing I'm not sure about the check, and the thing is, though, I've heard from every other quarterback, is that that is the check for the quarterback to make. He has to change the protection. Either the tackle has to pick it up or the back has to pick up that guy. The quarterback has to see it and make the call. And whether or not he made the call or not, we won't know.
Well, he says he didn't. Pete says he didn't. And that's fine. And sometimes you just get got. Like, the defense is getting paid a lot of money, too. The defensive coordinator is getting paid a lot of money. Like, every so often, they're going to have the right play call to disrupt the play that you're in. And maybe you miss their disguise. Like, it's going to happen now and then. It's not like he was poor at the line the whole game. Like, he was checking out of plays and checking into the correct run plays really very often. So I thought he did fine at the line. I mean, yes, he missed the one. It happens.
And so if it's an even battle, I look at that and say, okay, well, that round goes to Geno.
It's not an even battle.
You don't think that it was relatively even what Geno Smith and Drew Lock did?
No, I don't even think it's close. I mean, think about what Geno accomplished out there, right? So most of what happened and transpired with the success of the offense throughout the first half was all the running game.
It was all the running game in the second half.
Here's the difference. The big throws that Geno had in that game were mostly not contested throws. They were just wide open. If you don't hit that, like, why are you even in the league kind of throws? Like, it was so pedestrian that way. And he also bailed out of so many good pockets. And then he ran himself into that sack early in the game, too, where he held the ball forever and ran backwards and then forwards and then backwards and then forwards and just didn't get rid of the freaking football.
Yeah.
Drew threw out of dirty pockets with guys around his feet into contested windows and made NFL big league throws. Plus, he was far better in the red zone. I mean, he was awesome in the red zone.
Yeah. How many red zone opportunities did Geno have? Just the...
Exactly. How many did he give himself?
Well, I mean, part of that was circumstance and part of that was the run game that was working so well for Drew. I thought the offensive line for both quarterbacks, it looked pretty good. And that was one of my good takeaways from this game, is that at least the offensive line looked good and it showed the depth, right? Because I thought that the offensive line that was blocking for Drew and the second team and third team, those guys look good.
Oh, man. I think that line play both on offensive and defense was it was a super what would you call it? Silver lining for sure.
Yeah, apart from the tackling on defense, but yeah.
Exactly. And we can get to the atrocious tackling for sure. But the offensive line play, that really was exciting to see, especially the two rookie tackles. And also not just in pass protection. Charles Cross looked like a seasoned vet in pass pro. I mean, he had some amazing reps protecting the passer. That was really
Geno.
Fun to watch.
Geno scrambling around. That was just him giving the opportunity for Cross to show what he could do.
Put up some good tape. Yeah. But the really fun part was they both blocked very well in the run game. And the offensive line as a whole had an amazing push, especially the first play of the game. They blew the Steelers off the line and Walker ended up with 8 yards.
Right.
And that was fairly consistent throughout. That was fun to watch. If we get that version of the offensive line all season, and again, it's week one preseason, who knows? But that's what we have to go off of now. If we get that with some consistency, look out, man. I think that's a very competitive team.
Well, yeah, even what we saw with Travis Homer carrying the ball, with DJ Dallas carrying the ball, with those kinds of holes, those guys are going to have success too.
That was one of the better showings I've seen out of DJ Dallas
and Homer.
Yeah, whatever. I just, you can't get me on board with Travis Homer. I just, no, thank you. Like, I don't get it.
Some of those delayed handoffs looked pretty good.
Basically give up plays.
They weren't give up plays. They had some delayed handoffs on first and second down.
Travis Homer is the most, like, if you were to take, you know, Madden rankings or whatever, if I was in charge of it.
Look, if he's the fourth guy, it's fine.
Yeah, I understand that. He'd be like the Alex Smith line, Andy Dalton line, you know, that they've talked about with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That would be Travis Homer to me. He is the most average NFL running back that you could come across to me.
And that's fine. But
some people love that dude. They think he's great.
for where you drafted him, for how long he's been with the team, for the for what he gives you on special teams. It's fine.
Yeah, what he gives you on special teams is a giant whiff.
Look, you could point to anybody on that team and pick up a whiff. I saw Daryl Taylor with a whiff. I saw Marquise Blair with a whiff. I saw the corners.
Nwosu with a whiff.
Yes. I saw the corners with whiffs. So, yeah. And then not only... Okay, let's talk about corners for a second.
Yeah.
Woolen, Kobe Bryant. Maybe this is a statement of how good George Pickens is for the Steelers. But those guys, they looked lost against the Steelers early on.
Future Hall of Famer, Calvin Johnson replacement, Carl Pickens. Like,
George
good
Pickens.
Lord, how... George Pickens, whatever. Yeah, Carl Pickens was an Oilers receiver.
Bengals, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was Bengals. No, I think you're right. I think it was the Bengals. My God, how annoying was the catfishing Steelers announcers throughout this entire stupid game and their freaking love fest over frickin' Pickens, man. God, that was disgusting.
Yeah, you got both halves. You got Pickens early, Pickett in the second half.
God, it was disgusting, but... The corners did not help the case for shutting them up. That's for sure. Woolen had a rough go, especially at the beginning. It got a little better towards the end, but
a little bit.
And that's fine. This is where you get those reps. You take those lumps and all that stuff. I was more disappointed with Kobe Bryant and his tackling, especially early. It was like, gosh darn it. You were supposed to be the polished, ready to go guy. The would be able to handle that.
I don't know if I'm going to dog anybody for their tackling week one in a preseason game in a training camp where Pete Carroll doesn't even do live tackling.
Right. And that's exactly it. I didn't come away from that game. I was disappointed in the tackling and being like, boy, they're going to have to clean that up. Yeah. But it wasn't a concern because they often start slow tackling and get very good at it. And sometimes the frustrating part is it takes like week three or four, but they always get it down.
Yeah, I think that's just a function of not doing it in practice. And that helps guys stay healthier, hopefully, in practice. So it's a trade off. But like in past years, I hope they get it cleaned up by hopefully week one.
Hopefully week one. Because I
was really more concerned about Kobe Bryant getting blown up by Pickens off the line. Was it a run play or was it a pass up top? It was a pass that Pickens wasn't a part of, and Kobe's up on the line to press Pickens, and he just comes up and shoves him, and Kobe like just flat on his back.
Oh, really? I missed that
one. Oh my gosh, how could you miss it? It was
I don't know.
Well, you missed it because the play was up on the top of the screen, and Kobe just got posterized down on the bottom. Oh my gosh.
I think it's going to be important to get a couple of the veteran corners back. That's for sure. I think that's going to be a big deal. Sidney Jones sounds like he's been playing pretty consistently. And so I'd like to see him out there a bit. They keep talking about Kobe in the slot, which I think would probably be a nice fit for him. Also with Justin Coleman, which I think maybe that leads to the Ugo discussion. And I don't know if you want to get to that now or we can put that off till later here, but
let's have all the corner discussion right now.
Yeah. Okay. The Ugo trade. On a scale of one to just catfishing bizarre, where do you put that one?
It was definitely out of nowhere. I didn't think of Ugo as a guy that necessarily would be on the trade block. But when I think about the amount of depth that they have at corner, it
healthy depth.
Well, it's just a lot of depth. And so
is it, though?
There's a lot of guys. I don't know if that's just them being happy with some of the young guys to where they think that they can give that up to where they think he would have ultimately been a cut somewhere anyway. Because how I ended up hearing the news, it was more of the idea of, oh, they're going to go ahead and release Amadi after the preseason game. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. What did he do? You know, it wasn't like that he fumbled a punt down inside the 10 and nearly turned it over. Right. I didn't notice anything huge out of Amadi that,
or got like liquored up and ran into a bunch of cars and fell asleep in his car and got picked up by police. Hey, didn't do that.
He was asleep in his car. He'd never moved. But yeah, that never happened to Amadi either. But we could talk about that later too. But yeah. It seemed to come out of nowhere. But Justin Coleman to me seems like one of those guys that you sign and bring back and then cut before the season starts. And so maybe that's just a function of, oh, they're going to keep Justin Coleman, and now Amadi's the guy that they're going to cut, who's kind of the veteran guy that, you know, is a surprise cut. They end up getting Arthega Whiteside, who was a notorious Eagles receiver for, he was drafted ahead of DK Metcalf, right? And he just never produced for the Eagles, really. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I'm not super excited about that, but I guess that's more depth at another position that the Seahawks seem to have a ton of depth at.
So there's where it was for me, because I don't feel like they're particularly have quality depth at corner. We have a lot of unknowns mm-hmm. with some young guys. We have some guys that played okay last year and like the Sidney Jones types and the Reeds and all that. Trey Brown, who knows what he looks like when he comes back from injury? Like, there's just so much that could go wrong with that position group. And the young corners didn't look good in that game. And you give up a guy who, look, I maybe like Ugo a little better than a lot of people, but I think he was a solid player, could play inside, outside, a little safety, could even, you know, fill in as a return guy in a pinch. And you give up him for Arcega Whiteside, who's a gigantic freaking bust, and bring him into a receiver room that he will never make. Like, you can't convince me he is better than Goodwin, Swain, or Eskridge. He's just not.
Yeah, so why don't you make the trade for a pick of some sort, rather, you know, even if it's a sixth or seventh rounder, rather than a guy that you're probably going to cut anyway for nothing?
Well, see, and this is why it was so freaking bizarre to me. It was so bizarre. Like, you have a position group that you could use the experience at, and you get rid of a guy who has experience doing that for you for a bust in a position group that you have a lot of depth. I don't understand it for the life of me. And you say, well, why didn't they, you know, trade it for a pick? Well, it's because they were just going to release him, and the Eagles were like, well, all right, man, we ain't going to give you a pick, but, you know, if you're just going to release him, I mean, we'll give you JJ, I guess, like, just to be sure we get him in the building in Amadi. And I think that's how it went down.
With the shift to the new defense, maybe it was something to where he just wasn't picking it up. I mean, I'm just trying to think of things that we wouldn't necessarily see that would be obvious right to the team that it was time to move on.
I don't know. The timing of it was less bizarre to me, because let's say they had released him after the game rather than trade him. It would have given him time to latch onto another team mm-hmm. and then make a 53. And that's kind of doing him a solid. Right. That's like treating him with some respect. And so I can understand that. But why Ugo and for that guy, I guess we'll see. But yeah, that was a weird one to me.
Well, any other weirdness from this game against the Steelers that we want to fit in here?
Oh, just tiny hands. Catfish! And Pickett coming in and lighting us up. That was annoying.
I think there was that concern, right? Because he was the first quarterback off the board. And yeah, should the Seahawks have maybe taken a quarterback rather than have taken Cross with that top 10 pick? That's something that we may have to watch
for about the next 4 years. Now, with that said, too, like it just in that game, and who knows what Pickett does throughout the future and all that stuff. Did Pickett really look that much better than Geno or Drew? That was the saving grace to me, was that both Geno and Drew came out, and Geno played okay mm-hmm. and Drew played pretty good. So thank goodness for that.
Right.
If they had both been a dumpster fire, that would have been a bad 2 weeks.
Pickett outperformed Drew in the sense that he beat him in the second half.
Yeah. It's also a team game still too.
Sure. But he had enough poise in a rookie moment. Like, that's relatively impressive for a rookie to come in that situation at home with the crowd chanting his name. And, you know,
yeah, he's had all the advantages right there for sure. And then on top of all of that, it's freaking preseason. Like, I haven't even mentioned the score, right? Or whether it was a win or a loss. I could care less.
Oh, well, we lost. I felt that because I wanted to win.
It's preseason. I literally don't care.
I would have felt better about losing had I not seen the turnover at the end.
I guess. I mean, catfish! It happens, man.
That's stuff that I don't like to see happen, though.
Again, it's preseason. Like, if this was week two and that had happened, I'd be really bummed out. Yes.
Okay.
This would bother me immensely. I'd be crushing Drew Lock, but it's preseason. And this is where you get those kinks worked out. And that kind of going back to Drew Geno just real quick. people are like, well, Gino doesn't miss those pickups and he knows the offense and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he's been in it for 3 freaking years. Drew's been here for a cup of coffee so far. Maybe just simmer down for a second.
There are some of us that have higher expectations for Drew with the fact that he's not a rookie in the league. So, yeah, Gino's been in the league longer, but it's not like Drew should have some of these things figured out by now, right?
I have so much higher like if you're talking about the play compared to the expectations for each guy, I have so much, the gap is so much larger for me for Gino. My expectations are so much higher from the play that I see on the field. He's been here for 3 freaking years. He should have this down freaking pat.
You are the one that told me you knew what Gino was. How are those expectations exactly that should match exactly to your expectations then?
Well, look, I've just been told that Gino knows the offense. He runs the whole show better. He never makes mistakes and blah, 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 blah. If he's going to come out and like take the reins of QB1 and be the guy, then this was the first time through a whole offseason that basically he's the man and he's given that opportunity and all those first team reps. Like, I wanted to see improvement.
Well, then this would be disappointing because he looked exactly like a backup quarterback running the Seahawks offense.
Exactly. And that's why I was like, okay, no thanks. I would rather have Drew.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw the same thing from Drew. So
what are you talking about?
A backup quarterback running the Seahawks offense. That's what I saw from
How
Drew.
How did Drew look like a backup?
I have higher expectations for Drew going up against second and third teamers. I expected him to look okay going up against second and third teamers, and that's what he looked like.
He looked really good going against those guys.
It was fine.
Oh my gosh. Maybe we're listening to different music, man. I don't know.
I wasn't amazed by what he did.
I guess maybe it was on the second time around when I watched it that I was like,
Drew had more throws to where I said, what is he doing there? He had at least 2 throws on, I don't know exactly what drive. It must have been the third drive because you had the 2 touchdown drives. He threw it kind of over the middle and it kind of went toward the receiver's feet and it got kicked up in the air and it probably should have been picked if there was a guy there. And then he threw one over to the right side where he led it way ahead of the receiver and the guy just had to kind of fall down as he was catching it.
On the stupid give up play?
I don't know if it was that 11? One. Was that the 3rd and 11 one? It might have been. That was a stupid play though too. But look,
yeah, I can't blame Drew for that one. Like, what a craptastic play call.
But if I even him out, that was a craptastic play call. There was also a craptastic play call where it was a bubble screen down to the bottom side of the screen with Gino as they were getting into the red zone and they lost 2 yards on first down. And then what did they try and do on second down? It was either an incomplete or a rush that didn't go anywhere. And then third down didn't work out. So that was kind of I put it more toward play calling on Gino's his first red zone appearance. I had similar issues with play calling with Drew a couple of different occasions, but I thought the running game helped out both of them well too. So I just,
and maybe that's what we should be talking about too, is like this offense is going to go how the running game goes. Right. And it looked really effective no matter who the heck they threw back there. That's super encouraging.
So yeah, I guess my point is either one, fine.
Okay. You know, I feel like I've made this impassioned case for Drew Lockett throughout this podcast. And at the end of the day, I'm closer to where you are. It's like, I mean, I guess if Gino starts, that's fine. He wasn't a dumpster fire. All right, fine. Give him a shot. I just would rather see Drew. That's it. Like, I'm not mad. I'm not upset if Gino starts week 1, but it'd be cooler to me if we started Drew. Like, I just think he's a little better. I just do.
He's more talented at throwing the football. And I think that everybody can watch that game against the Steelers and watch the way that Locke throws it and say, well, yeah, he's got the better arm. Why isn't he the guy?
Yeah. And he throws it into tight windows better on time, better
when he's not throwing it
off of that game. Yeah.
Look, we got a couple more weeks to decide again. I'm just going to end up being right. And Gino's going to start the first few weeks and then Drew's going to come in and finish out the season or at least part of the season. Maybe they'll go back to Gino based on his performance, whatever. I'm going to be right. I'm letting you know now. I'm letting people listening know so that they can have those expectations. When Gino starts week 1, if you want to see Drew, you just have to wait a couple of weeks and then he's going to be out there.
Did you say that I'm right, like you yourself, or we're right? Because I have said consistently, it's probably going to be Gino week 1. I just don't want it to be.
Right.
Like that's, yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that. I really am. I just think that's a disappointing decision, but it's probably a foregone conclusion at this point with the COVID stuff. And that's fine. There's lots of other stuff to look at as well throughout this game. I mean, the defense, I think, in terms of the defensive line, that's something I'd like to talk about a little bit more, too. Pass rush and all that.
Pass rush looked pretty good consistently throughout the game, whether it was early on in the game, toward the end of the game, they were getting pressure on Pickett. I was intrigued by the pass rush. I'll say that.
I thought Mafe, the way that he flashed, was extremely encouraging. That was one of those where it's like, well, okay. I mean, there's a lot of guys that say that he could probably be good. And then there's a lot of guys that say, nah, he's just a flash in the pan and super inconsistent at Minnesota. And that's that. And you're kind of hoping to see a little bit of a spark there. And he really did deliver it with the strip sack and some pressure later in the game and all that stuff. Holy smokes. There was the one rush by Daryl Taylor though, where, and I think it's the one that he couldn't bring Trubisky down.
Oh yeah.
But he was shot out of a catfish cannon. He flew off the ball. That was impressive.
Yeah, it was when Trubisky was in and he kind of whiffed on getting his arms wrapped around him. And then Trubisky was able to wiggle out of it and I think complete right. it to Pickens. But
yeah,
I was happy about that. I think we saw Puna getting some pressure early on, too. And we saw Miles Adams toward the end of the game getting some pretty good pressure. I just saw him on the screen a lot, I felt like.
Yeah.
And the one guy, yeah, you brought up the name of Boye Mafe. He was the one guy out of everybody on the team that I would say what he did in the game, in the first preseason game, he deserves to get first team reps. It'd be Mafe.
Yeah, he's the second one for sure.
You would say Locke, but yeah, he would be my number one.
Yeah, it was super exciting to see. I think that's a lot of, just good signs going into this next game because we've talked about it a lot. I think the pass rush is going to be probably one of the most important things for this team this year, especially when we saw how some of the young corners can play at times. I mean, if they're getting quick pressure on quarterbacks, it's going to make it a lot easier on those DBs. And also, too, like killing the young DBs and everything. They don't have Jamal Adams back there with them. They don't have Diggs back there with them. That makes a huge difference as well.
The one area we haven't really talked about is linebacker.
Yeah. I mean, Barton looked like Barton to a degree, maybe just not quite as effective at hitting his run fits. I was really frustrated by the personal foul, like early in the game. Yeah. Like that's such Seahawks football.
It's preseason game one, though.
Yeah, exactly. I hope it stays like that because, good Lord, that stuff just fries me, you know? Give up a huge play. Oh, and here's an extra 15 on the end just because I'm pissed.
Sure. Well, I think I could see him being pissed because I was also pissed at all the missed tackling. And so, yeah, you take out a little frustration at the end of a play there in preseason.
Yeah.
I guess no Jordan Brooks. It showed me the lack of depth because it wasn't very long into the game to where I'm like looking at my Seahawks roster to figure out who is who.
Yeah. Who's the guy wearing 50 that's not KJ? Who's the DeFranco guy or whatever his DeBlanco. Name was?
Yeah.
DeBlanco. Yeah. I was drawing a giant DeBlank on that too. I that was a position group that did seem scary thin a little bit. I'm curious to hear what you think about what happened with Nwosu in this game. Because he was the big pickup, right? Over the free agency period.
Yeah, I couldn't pick out a play to where I noticed him.
I was super disappointed in live action when I watched the first time. I was like, why are we paying this guy? Like, he isn't doing squat. And then going back and rewatching it, he drew the double team on almost every single pass play.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you're drawing the double and freeing up everybody else, then you're definitely earning your paycheck. So
yeah, and there's not much you can do there.
Although it didn't flash, it was important what the other team at least respected him in that way.
Well, I guess that's good because he didn't. I wasn't even sure what number he wore because I thought he was number 51, who I did see down the field breaking up a pass to one of the tight ends. But it turned out he was 51's one of the dudes that we got from the Chicago Bears. Linebacker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, Iggy. That guy. What was his name again?
Iggy.
Iggy. Yeah, Iggy. This is the time of year.
I think you pronounce his name E.A. Booneyway.
Okay.
I'll figure it out. I looked at it before we recorded, and I'll wait till he makes the team. And then
there you go. Yeah.
And then I'll nail it.
I was going to say, I'm not going to put any extra energy into that one until the 53 comes out.
I'll nail it.
Anything that you are really, really focused on going into the Bears game?
I guess I'm really interested in seeing some Jacob Eason now.
Okay.
Maybe he's the guy we haven't seen.
Yeah.
You know, if I want an apples to apples comparison, I got to see Jacob Eason tear it up with the twos. And then, you know, maybe we think about him getting snaps with the ones in preseason week three.
Remember when Josh Portis looked like he should probably be the guy, the third stringer in preseason with Tavares? And
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's who Jacob Eason is. He's Portis.
You never know.
Yeah, I think we do.
Let's see. I want to see tackling improving.
Yes.
I want to see the run game continue to be effective against the Bears. I mean, I don't need to see DK or Tyler out there again.
No.
Yeah, I'd like to see more on third down from Geno while he's in. I didn't get a sense that he was really in. You know, he was either in short yardage third down situations that he should pick up, or he was in third and long situations where they ended up giving up. And in the preseason, hey, Pete Carroll, Shane Waldron, why don't you maybe go for some of those third downs down the field when it's inconsequential in the preseason? Why are we doing give up plays in the preseason anyway? Can we stop that?
Oh, catfish, God, that just, it's infuriating. You have nothing to lose. Why would you not be practicing picking up a critical third and freaking forever? Like, why not try? What is that? I thought it was always compete, you freaking losers. God, that just made me so mad. The give up plays are just so frustrating, man. Ah.
So, yeah, I'd like to see less of that.
Yeah.
Tackling on defense was the main thing. It sounds like Fields is going to get some mm-hmm. reps with the first team. So they should be able to get to Fields, because all I've heard from Bears fans is how they haven't put enough around Fields in terms of offensive line help, in terms of receiving help. So I would hope that we get a good showing from our defensive starters at home in front of fans.
I'm very interested to see how our defensive line deals with a very mobile quarterback, mm-hmm. because that's going to be something that's important, considering that we're going to face Kyler twice and Trey Lance
twice.
So
yeah.
So I think that's a huge deal.
Twice, probably.
Probably. Yeah, exactly. World beater Wofford. You betcha.
Actually, I think all the reports around Rams camp with regard to Stafford have been positive so far. Like, he's going
to
be okay.
Except for his elbow's about to fall off.
The word now is that he's fine.
Okay, then.
Just telling you.
Yeah. Let's revisit this week 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you? Anything you're looking for with regard to the game?
You know, you really hit on a lot of it. The third downs on offense, that's a huge deal for me. I just really want to see some efficiency there, because we cannot live with the time of possession problems that we had last season. Like, that imbalance was stark and unacceptable.
Yeah.
So third downs, and I guess defensively as well. Can they get off the field on third downs? Can they not be the team that gets jellied, you know, all the way down the field and then gives up 3 points? Like, and then towards the end of the season, it was kind of like, well, and then they're also going to give up touchdowns. It was like,
well, it was hard to evaluate based on this game because of the tackling. The tackling was so bad that the defense was just on the field until they scored.
Yes. Yeah. And that was the thing. It was like, I think 90% of the defensive problems in that game was literally tackling.
It definitely made it more difficult to evaluate, but yeah.
So I'm a little more interested in the defense and the offense, I think, going into this game.
Okay. Yeah, because your guy isn't playing.
Yeah, we're playing some other guy.
Is it just Eason and Geno then? Are those our only two QBs on the roster right now, or do we have another dude?
Camp arm guy or something that you put in there?
Well, I feel like they brought in guys all throughout the offseason and then cut them.
Right.
Yeah, the only three quarterbacks we have on the roster right now, Geno, Drew, and Eason.
Okay. Jacob Eason's going to get a lot of run in this game, probably.
Going to get a lot of time.
So do you think, because it's a short week, that they just try to put guys in positions to where they can evaluate individuals. And then week three is the week that they go and kind of try the dress rehearsal idea and really be tuned up for week one. Because I know a lot of teams used to be week three was the dress rehearsal. Week four was last chance. And then now the fewer preseason games, a lot of people are like, well, week two is now the dress rehearsal. And then week three is like last chance for the bubble guys. I mean, I think with the short week, I think that makes it hard.
I don't have a good sense of it now because I feel like there's other teams that just blow off preseason entirely and don't even put their first teamers out there.
True. That's true.
So yeah. It's kind of all over the place now.
Yeah.
I think the way that they're probably going to do it, I bet Geno gets another half because it will be, well, they only have two guys to put out there on offense anyway. He needs the extra time. The offensive line needs the extra time. I'd like to see them mix that up a little bit more.
Do you think Lucas has solidified his spot at right tackle right now?
No. No.
I don't either. I think he needs this one to really get there. I think if he plays well in this game and gets a lot of run, I think it's his job at that point.
You think Lucas will earn that right tackle spot?
If he plays well in this game on Thursday, you betcha.
Do you think we could see any more surprise cuts based on some of the performances from this first week?
Absolutely. The Seahawks are like notoriously one of the most surprising teams in the league. You're like, the rest of the league looks at us all the time like, what are they doing?
Or any more trades, like maybe a Gabe Jackson trade.
Possibly. I suppose. Why? Because you like Curran at right guard?
Or Haynes, they have guys.
Haynes, who got whipped on at least three plays in that last game.
He got whipped pretty bad.
The Phil Haynes hype train needs to come back to the station. It's a little out of control.
A little bit, but was it when Locke was in?
Yes.
That he just gave up pressure immediately right up the middle. And I thought Locke did pretty well to get rid of it, if I'm remembering that play right.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Didn't panic.
Well, here we go. Preseason week two, Chicago Bears.
It'll be fun. Delaying my departure for the great state of New York by a day to be sure that I can watch the game live and then join you all for a live show after.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the second half of the show.
Let's do it.
So where are you going? Where are you going to New York? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Well, the kiddo is heading off for her first year of college in Rochester, New York, up near the Canadian border.
Yes.
Yeah. She's flying out because her schedule's a little tighter and actually get to drive out with my dad with all of her stuff. So,
that'll be fun.
Yeah, exactly. It'll either be fun or we'll kill each other. We'll see. I'll give you an update from the road for sure.
Yeah, well.
No, it actually will be fun. We get along well.
Yeah, when you're not trying to kill each other.
Right. In between the stabby parts. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, road trips. I had a good time on my road trip.
Yeah, it was that seemed like a monster one.
We went up to Linwood for a little bit. Then we went out and spent some time in Shelton on one of the lakes, which I didn't realize there were so many lakes apart from the Puget Sound.
Tons of them.
Hung out there. Made our way back through Idaho, spent a day there.
Okay.
2 days. I can't even keep it straight. It was fun.
Right. Right. Well, good, man. Yeah, it was well-deserved. Well-deserved vacation for you. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. I hope what we did trying to hold down the fort while you were gone was passable.
I appreciated it all. It was fun tuning in and getting to hear the shows at the end of the day before they got posted. And
yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed. I didn't get to see any Russell Wilson, though, in the preseason.
Oh, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got some thoughts.
You want the Broncos to do better because they didn't play them week one. Did I get it?
No, but the Broncos Dallas game is definitely a part of my do better. There's no doubt about it.
Well, 49ers fans are all hyped up because Trey Lance completed one big pass and then three other little passes, went 4 for 5 on the day. And so things are definitely going great. San Fran.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Trey Montana was just tearing it up out
there. Tore it up.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a 65-yard, like really impressive deep throw.
No,
he just hit the dude on the sideline. It was kind of like the Bo Melton. Well, Bo Melton did only catch it about 5 yards down the field, whereas I think the Lance throw was maybe 15. But dude caught it and ran down the field.
Yeah, it was a lot like the Geno completion to Fant over the middle in Arizona. Oh, look at that. You know, rolled out and he hit a dude who was wide freaking open.
It wasn't wide open.
It was wide open. He had him right behind him. He had him by two steps. That is NFL wide freaking open.
Yeah, NFL wide open. Okay. Let's see. Anybody else in the division we need to talk about?
Need to crap on a little bit.
Yeah.
Apparently the Cardinals haven't looked good. Surprise, surprise.
The Niners hype was the only thing that jumped out at me for a 4 of 5 performance.
Yeah. No, they were all fired up. I don't know if they should take into account that Sudfeld came in and also looked good. That's something to think about.
Yeah, that's right. Because he was the dude that they drafted in, what, the 7th?
I don't think they drafted him. I think he was with the Eagles for a little while.
They did have another guy that came in, though. And because I remember hearing it was his first NFL touchdown pass. What was that guy's name?
Isn't his name better than Trey Lance?
It might be before too long.
Yeah.
It just seems like under Shanahan, all those quarterbacks end up looking about the same.
Absolutely.
But, you know, Super Bowl expectations now.
Oh, 100%. Jeez Louise, the Niners broadcasters on that too. Like, golly.
Listening to EJ and Brett on Bootleg Football, and they were hyping up the Niners.
People are all on board. Look, I get that people enjoy setting themselves up for disappointment, like if they're kind of a masochist type. And clearly that's what was going on with EJ there. Yeah.
Oh, so Curran's out with back spasms.
What is going on? I did have a thought while we went to break, and it had to do with your Gabe Jackson slander. And
it wasn't really slander. It was more like there's always a veteran surprise cut, and maybe that's going to be Amadi and that's going to be the end of it. But I feel like it's too soon for the surprise cut.
I think I realized that you just don't like it when interior linemen get paid. I think that's what it is.
Maybe yeah. That's my bias. And
yeah, you're mad at Austin Blythe for getting a league average contract and then mad at Gabe Jackson for having what, a top 20 contract and playing like it.
I actually think that it would be good to keep Jackson just to have some, you know, a competent veteran offensive lineman that the young guys can look up to.
Are we sure he's still not going to start?
Yeah, I think that would be good. He would be a good starter to keep on the team.
Oh, okay. The way I took what you said was that somebody else would be playing in that spot and just have Gabe around as like a mentor.
No, no, no. If he's not going to play, you have to get rid of him.
Okay. All right.
Besides, Curran's out with back spasm now, so I don't know who would be the right guard anyway.
Yeah. Better not be somebody who's making money.
I thought that Blythe, the salary that he got based on being on veteran minimum last year with the Chiefs and not doing anything, I just never understood why you needed to pay him 2.5 times as much to get him to Seattle.
All right. Email is seahawkerspodcast@gmail.com. Go ahead and send in your emails regarding the interior offensive lineman hater, Brandon Schultz. And if you have any thoughts on that, just send that right to him.
The first email I get of someone who cares about interior offensive lineman, particularly at center, we're going to get more commentary on Jacob Eason being the third stringer.
Maybe. I don't know. I think you might be surprised. There's a lot of interior line play guys out there that they care, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interior O-line like guys matter. Those
guys. Yeah.
Hey, and look, Blythe, he seemed fine.
Yeah.
I didn't notice anything terrible.
Exactly. That's how you know. That's how I framed Abe Lucas on a different show we had done. Was just like, did you notice him? Not really. Well, perfect. Then he did. Then he did his job well.
You want to be looking at these guys in the preseason, though. I mean,
I did forget to mention that we got whipped on special teams. Like we get that was a pathetic showing.
Yeah, that was pretty rough on both sides.
Dixon
on coverage
needs to get his poop in a freaking group here and figure out how to hit a wedge inside the 20.
Where are you at, Dixon? Or are you just, there's no, he doesn't have any competition. That's why.
That's why he can't stop it before the goal line anymore.
No, you don't want to give that away in the preseason.
You can't just do it all the time because you're a professional and that's all you practice.
You gotta save your best stuff for the regular season.
Yeah. Okay. Then
it's like a pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
You gotta save the good stuff.
Hey, Myers drilled his field goal and extra points.
Hey, he's perfect so far.
Absolutely.
We got a 2-point conversion in this game.
Exactly. Another positive from Drew Lock.
I mean, hitting a wide open dude in the end zone, I guess, is positive.
Hey, for points, baby.
All right. Well, I think we covered most of the main news in the first half of the show. Let's get to the big news. Our new members of the flock.
Hell yeah. And this is an exciting time of the year, too, because, and I forgot, before we get into the new members of the flock, Brandon, and I can't believe you forgot. So, I mean, I'm a little angry at you, but happy podiversary, bud. 10 years, buddy.
Happy podiversary. See, I tried to skip it last week and then let it slide by unnoticed. But here we are. Is it? Wait, I thought we were starting our 10th year.
Yeah, if it's your 10 year anniversary of being married, that's your 10th. You're going into year 10 of being married.
No, I think it's been 9 full years and we're starting our 10th year.
Right.
That's not your 10th anniversary.
Yes, it is.
I don't think that's how it works.
When you've completed your 9th year of marriage and it's the day that you got married again, that is your 10th year wedding anniversary.
You don't have your first birthday on the day that you're born.
This isn't a birthday. It's an anniversary.
You know, it's just your wedding day then. It's not your anniversary. Your first wedding day is on the 1-year anniversary of your original wedding. But that's
how it's counted. I didn't make up the rules, dude. I'm just telling you how it is. And you forgot. You don't even know how to count them. You don't care at all. Our little flockers care, though. That's why we got more in this week.
All right. Let's thank our executive producers, DCH, Dustin Monk, Brian Shaw, and Rebecca Christensen. And man, oh man, we got some new members of the flock this week. Kicking things off with Donovan Dorsha in at $25 a month. Welcome to the flock to Donovan.
Holy smokes, Donovan. Coming in big. Man, I don't know how anybody else could compare after that. How much pride should Donovan have with himself right now?
All of it.
63.
Just 63?
On a scale of 1 to 10.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No note from Donovan. We haven't gotten a lot of notes this week for whatever reason, but we also have a familiar name here with Glenn Travis in at $145.44. So coming in for the full year, re-upping. I know Glenn's been around, so no welcome needed for Glenn, but he's on my list.
No, thanks for staying, buddy. Appreciate you being in here on your, this would be what, his 4th anniversary with us?
No, it's probably 2017. So I don't know. Ish, was that
somewhere in there?
With the way you count, then that's probably like the 8th anniversary.
It's not the way I count. It's how the world counts, Brandon.
Randy is in at Glenn's anniversary amount, $7 Canadian a month. Welcome to the flock to Randy.
Heck yeah, Randy. Appreciate you coming in, Ben. And looking forward to kicking your ass in the pick 'em.
That's right. We got to get the word out with the pick'em because, okay, for everybody who's in pick'em every year, it's worked out pretty well being on CBS because it rolls over into the next year. So you don't have to create a new account anywhere.
Right.
And I feel like it's worked well enough these past few years that we don't need to look for a new place because we went through a couple years of that where we were trying to find our home for the pick'em.
Yeah.
I think that the CBS Pick'em has been our home and we can stay there.
Right. The only problem with the CBS site is that it's associated with Prisco. So there's that.
I feel like we can get over that. Like you can live in a house with an uncle for a little while. That's kind of annoying.
Right.
But he keeps to himself. You don't really have to see him.
Unfortunately, Prisco doesn't keep to himself.
But he's far enough out in the backyard that we can ignore him enough.
Could put him in the mother-in-law shed.
Prisco's in our mother-in-law shed.
Right.
Metaphorically.
Or maybe in reality. I may have kidnapped Pete Prisco and have him held hostage somewhere in the woods of Montana. You never know with me.
I'm not going to say that it would be a terrible idea.
You're not going to encourage it, but you're not going to necessarily discourage it either.
I would discourage anyone else from doing it. Leave it to trained professionals. Adam is in Montana, has cabins accessible for this sort of thing. I trust you to do it right.
In case you didn't know, it takes exactly 1 year for a body to skeletonize in Montana. I learned that in a forensic anthropology course. Just part of the knowledge.
So is it the 2 year anniversary of the death then, or is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's not how you count deaths. It's just anniversaries, man. It's a deaths are more like birthdays. They're kind of related, you know, they're intertwined, right?
Sure.
Birthdays, death days. Yeah.
We've got an anonymous flocker in at $5.12 a month. Welcome to the flock.
I like that. You know, that's probably a 49ers fan that has realized that maybe their loyalties are misplaced. And so they're trying on being a 12 for size here. And they're just a little ashamed.
I don't want to offend our anonymous flocker. So everything Adam said, it's not true.
It's probably not true.
But look, if you are a 49ers fan and you have been listening to the show long enough that you're a freeloader and should be considered as such, for one thing, if you're a freeloading 49ers fan, you don't get a 2 year grace period. Those are for Seahawks fans.
What's the longest grace period we would extend to a dirty Niners fan who's freeloading?
If you're not donating and you're listening after 3 weeks, then you're not welcome.
Fair.
Get out.
Now.
Jonathan Chivers is in at 950 British pounds. So welcome at the 12-12 level. That'll be enough to get you into our Seahawks Facebook Ring of Honor group. Welcome to the vlog, Jonathan.
Dude, that's awesome, Jonathan. Welcome, welcome. 950 in pounds is 12-12, eh?
Mm-hmm.
What? Okay. That shows you a little bit about the inflation, I guess.
Yeah, it definitely goes all over the place.
Yeah.
Is that good or bad inflation? I don't know.
I think bad, because that's less pounds to the dollar, yeah.
Maybe it's good for Jonathan, though.
Oh, I think it's awesome for Jonathan, and I'm rooting for him that way.
Donovan Meisner in at $1 a month. Welcome to the flock to Donovan.
Heck yeah, Donovan. Appreciate it, bud.
See, Donovan's in here. If you're a freeloading Rams fan, like the one who listens to this show, mm-hmm. you can afford $1 a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
3 week grace period. Cardinals fans.
That's exactly right.
Talking to you too.
Now we all know. We actually had not announced this before. So
this is brand
now
new.
That it's announced, you are on notice. You've been put on notice.
Now that it's our 15-year anniversary of the podcast, we've started to come up with some rules and guidelines.
I can't believe you're shorting us all those years, this 30th anniversary of the podcast.
I'll get there. Brian Lowry. Celebrating our 30-year anniversary of the podcast by upping his annual pledge from $145.44 to $300.
Holy smokes. Man, get out of here, dude. That's amazing. I think that's so impressive that he's supporting us as we're going into our golden years after our 75th pod anniversary here.
Thanks to Tyler Zerker, also giving us a increase annually from $5.12 a month to $60 annual. Tyler says, longtime supporter of the show. I came in annually to show my support for all the new content. I just moved from Washington State to Washington, D.C. this week for law school, and I'm happy to have the best Seahawks shows in one place. This is me doing my part to get Adam out of the sawmill and podcasting full time. Can't wait for more 3-in, 3-out with Clinton, and excited to see what Phil and Wilson bring as well. This season is going to be awesome. No more maximizing Russ's window stress. Either we end up being a sneaky playoff contender with a run game and a defense, or we're terrible and we have draft capital for the quarterback of the future. Both sound good to me. Thanks for all you do, and go Hawks.
Hey, go Hawks, Tyler, man. Appreciate it. What a big move, man. From one Washington to the other. That's a long ways.
That's the reverse Washington move that I did.
You know, I would say it's got to be hard being around all those Commanders fans, but...
Not that hard.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's none left now, right?
I think there is a good Seahawks bar in D.C. too.
Well, if you can think of it, we'll have to get that to Tyler.
And if Tyler can't track it down, then shoot me an email.
Yeah.
I probably have it somewhere. And lastly, Russell Maiden came in with an increase from $3 a month to $9.50. Also, with the pounds and getting in at the 12-12 level into our Facebook Ring of Honor group.
Dude, welcome, man. Yeah, take advantage of that strong pound to the dollar ratio and get in the Ring of Honor. If you are listening from the UK, now's the time. If you're not already in, we have lots of good folks from the UK already, but we could always use more.
It's true. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to my pharmacist, Shannon, who again sparked up a Seahawks conversation with me at the pharmacy window this past week. And I said, hey, if you are as much of a Seahawks fan as you come across, just in our pharmacy window conversations, I think you'd like the show.
Right. And not only that, Brandon, that was she, you know, just because she's a Seahawks fan, but there's a lot of people that enjoy the witty banter of the show just as it is. Like, you could be the most casual Seahawks fan and still really enjoy this show because we're hilarious.
Look, fans of all experience levels are welcome here. We make it work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We try to, you know, speak to the guys that have been around for a long time and know a lot about football. And then also too, like, try not to make you feel dumb if you're not exactly sure what, you know, nickel coverage is, right?
Yeah. Like, Brett Favre didn't know what nickel coverage was, and he became a professional in the NFL.
Exactly. A Hall of Famer.
A Hall of Famer.
Super Bowl champion. Yeah.
Corey Nagel, who came in last show. I missed Corey's note going into the last show, so I wanted to read it here.
How dare you?
I know. I'm terrible host and human and not even worth being on the show for the 80 years that we've done it.
Right.
Corey says, hi, Brandon and Adam. I'm going to level with you. I'm well past my freeloader threshold. I don't feel good about it, but I can't go back and change it now. What I can do is finally get my ass in the flock for the upcoming season. I inspect communications towers for a living here in Australia, which takes me to some of the remotest parts of the country. Surprisingly, there's not much to listen to on the radio to fill in the hours between stops at remote comm sites in the outback. Your podcast has kept me sane in those long stretches, and I owe you both massively for that. I'm originally from the States, Winer Country in Northern California specifically, and here in Australia, I don't exactly have a huge number of people I can talk Seahawks or even NFL in general with, but listening to you guys makes me feel like I'm in the pub having a few beers with mates while debating things like who should be our starting quarterback or cornerback number two, Drew Locke and Kobe Bryant, in case you were curious. Mm-hmm. Thanks heaps for keeping me in touch with my team when I'm so far away from them. And I know this is part of the message where everyone usually catfishes the other teams in the division. But I think growing up in Northern California probably softened my sports hate to the 49ers a bit. And the Cards are just too irrelevant to vote any emotion to one way or another. I do, however, loathe the Rams with every fiber of my being. May they fade back into obscurity where they belong and take their self-satisfied fair weather fans and frat boy coaching staff with them forever. Go Hawks from Corey.
I am so glad that you brought Corey's message back for this episode because that one was fantastic. It was, I really appreciate you bringing us both along with you out there in the outback. And I just, I think we need to perform a little seance, a little seance for his Hakra, because I know he felt a little guilty about extending his freeloader period, maybe a little past the normal grace period. And, yo, Brandon and I hereby deem your Hakra, Corey, completely cleansed.
Hakra is cleansed. And oh, yeah, I forgot the ha. Well, Corey deserves it because, as a reminder, he did come in at 198 Australian for the year. This
That
last episode. Wow. So, yeah.
Golly, so generous. You guys, all you little flockers, man, you blow my mind with your generosity. It really is unbelievably appreciated.
And we have people like What the Smell coming in and leaving comments on our YouTube videos. That reminds me, I do need to do a giveaway for the people who commented Go Hawks. And a lot of those YouTube videos to get our comments up. But What the Smell left a comment that I wanted to call out. He said, you guys rock, trying my best to recommend the pod to any Hawks fans in other comments about Seahawks. Spreading the good word, was visited by the GOAT himself, John Clayton, last night in my dream. Woke up thanking God and John for that. It was a special dream. Although I didn't ask any Hawks questions, regretted that. R.I.P. Professor. And see, What the Smell brings up a good point here, and that, you know, if you're in that window where you think maybe I'm a freeloader, if you're recommending the show to other people, that improves your Hakra to the point it can balance out.
absolutely. The idea that, you know, maybe financially speaking, it doesn't make a lot of sense for certain individuals to be donating to the show at this particular time. It's totally fine, man. You can go the what the smell route and just spread the love, man. There's no better gift that you can give than the Seahawkers podcast. And your friends will thank you for it. So it's a great way, like Brandon said, to cleanse your chakra and get on the level. And you don't even have to feel like a freeloader at that point, because you're not.
Absolutely. Big thanks to What the Smell. Huge thanks to all of our new members of the flock. And yeah, it's been incredible. The showing of support as we get into this 85th season that we've been doing the show together.
Dude, I mean, I can't imagine what the next 200 years is going to be like for us together.
How many Super Bowls? How many Super Bowls will we see by the time we hit year number 300?
All of them.
Let's get on to Do Better and Better at Life.
All right, man. My Do Better this week is for Catfish! NFL Network. Man, they pissed me off so royally during preseason week one. I can barely even put it into words. So excited to see the Hawks. So excited to see Drew Locke and some of the backup receivers and the rookie tackles and some of the other offensive linemen. And we get to quarter three. And what do? They minimize. And I'm watching on the tablet, mind you, like out in the woods at our friend's party. And they minimize the Hawks game into the second screen. And then not only that, all they do is show Russell Wilson freaking prancing around on the fucking sidelines. They're not even starting the game for a good long time. And they just sit and they run the Broncos stupid audio for the game that is not even yet occurring. You already screwed us enough by bringing Russell in week one into our home. Like, the NFL couldn't just let it lie there. Oh, no. They had to rub the salt in the wound, even in preseason week one, even when we're not even playing the stupid catfishing Broncos. Screw you, NFL Network, for putting up Broncos Dallas over top of our game for the majority of the fourth quarter. You guys are a bunch of freaking tools. I can't stand you. Do better.
Well, I guess with my viewing experience, then it was probably better. I was in the Seattle area, so I got the local broadcast, so I didn't have to deal with the NFL Network showing me shots of Russ throughout the game. So that was nice.
And just taking the game completely off the screen and showing Broncos.
Oh, yeah, that's and it was supposed to be the Seahawks game in that time slot.
Yes.
Well, I did have some technical difficulties of my own, though, because the lake house that I was staying at, the owner of the house had installed a VPN on a Amazon Fire Stick, and the VPN was saying that he was in Northern California, and so he couldn't get the game up on the screen. So I watched the entire first half from my phone as we tried to troubleshoot. It took us a while to work it out. Eventually, we got it figured out. We got to watch the second half. Russell Wilson free.
Good
that
for
was
you.
A bonus. But you know what?
Must have been nice.
You know what? It was nice. You know what wasn't nice, though? My do better this past week is for the Las Vegas Police Department for harassing a napping Marshawn Lynch in a vehicle and arresting him, booking him. I don't understand this. At first, I get the reports that, Marshawn Lynch, DUI, wrecked car. So it made it sound like Marshawn Lynch driving around in some stolen vehicle, crashed it, and was passed out drunk in the car. It turns out, though, as you hear from his lawyer's perspective, Marshawn, he didn't steal the car. The car was already wrecked. He was just parked in this car on the side of the road. And yeah, okay, maybe Marshawn had a little bit too much to drink that night, was partying up, and was just looking for a place to crash in this particular vehicle. I don't know who it belonged to, but Marshawn wasn't hurting nobody. And just the way that these two reports conflicted, I'm having a hard time understanding why Las Vegas and their police department would harass our beloved running back. Las Vegas police, do better.
I heard a funny joke. I want to say it was the dude from That's Good Sports. He's like, if you have to worry about which one of your eyes is more open than the other, you probably shouldn't be driving.
I will say, you know, based on that, It did look like Marshawn maybe was intoxicated with something in those photos. And so I don't know if I can believe Marshawn Lynch's side completely either, because there's a report that Lynch stated that he was not drinking and he does not do drugs, according to a report filed on behalf of Marshawn.
Yeah, he's just all about that action, boss.
I guess it depends on what your definition of drugs is, of what Marshawn does.
Right. Yeah. Look, and I think Marshawn has every right to decide what that definition is for himself.
Because, you know, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he doesn't do drugs, but he talks about getting stoned off of whatever plant. It's not drugs, it's medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been doing some mushrooms, medicine. You know, and yeah, he's probably going to see some tracers at the end of every one of his passes this season. It should be
that would
fun
be fun, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that would help a wide receiver? To have
possibly
a tracer, yeah, on the football.
You know, to be perfectly honest, I think once you are a full-fledged adult, say maybe in your 30s, like a trip on mushrooms is probably good for everybody's deal.
Health advice from Adam Emmert.
Mental health advice.
Do mushrooms at least once.
Yeah, just once.
In your 30s.
Well, just when you feel like you've kind of got yourself figured out a little bit.
Peaked mentally.
Okay. Yeah, you may have peaked in your 30s. Like, I'm still on the upswing, man. It's probably because I did mushrooms then.
Seriously, though, Marshawn, what the heck?
I know.
They just caught him blinking in the smug shot. That's why. He wasn't on drugs or alcohol.
Are you vying for a spot on legal counsel here? Like, maybe, are you?
I don't know.
Do you want to be a runner or something like that for the lawyer?
I just like that how everything in our society works, and that the first report is something about how it's the worst thing.
Yes.
And then how later on the report comes out that says,
that's nothing.
It wasn't anything that even happened here.
Yeah. The truthiness of everything has gotten diluted. That is for sure.
It does make it easier, though, to know that, you know, you put the field goal post up on either side. And so you right. just have you have to determine the width of the post, though. There's a pretty right. pretty wide variance.
Yeah. Is it like an arena league field goal post? Is it more like college, you know, or high school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's starting to feel more like high school or even
whatever the biggest one is.
Yeah. I think those are the biggest ones.
I'd be better at life.
All right, man. My better at life than Skip Bayless this week. It's for all the firefighters that are out here in the Sapphire Mountains fighting the hog trough fire and the new Fuse Lake fire. Actually, I was out taking little Ollie Man out for, he's not little anymore. He's already like 50 pounds or 60 pounds up the Forest Service Road that borders our property. And a bunch of Forest Service guys come roaring up the road. And they were just out looking for fires because there was a little bit of lightning the night before. It turns out the one started up by Fuse Lake, which is far enough away to where I'm not super worried, but it's close enough to where I'm like, oh, okay, if they could stay on that, that'd be great. So they've been doing an amazing job. They've been fighting these fires here for a couple weeks now, and just awesome guys. And I appreciate them checking up on us and keeping us safe and hopefully keeping my place from burning down, because it's definitely in an area where that is your biggest risk in terms of natural disasters. So to all those firefighters out there doing the good work, keeping our stuff not in fuego, better at life than Skip Bayless.
Always happy to call out those firefighters out there doing their work.
Yeah,
I saw some fires driving home, some new ones. It was burning up as I'm coming into Elmo up on the right, those mountains.
Holy
there.
Holy smokes. That one was huge.
Well, no, yeah. there was the one on the right heading down that was huge, but then there was another one coming back that was active.
Oh my gosh, really? Jeez Louise.
Yeah, kidding. So all of Elmo, Montana under siege from both directions.
Man, that's tough.
It's fire season. I feel like it's a little bit better this year than past year, though.
It's a smidgen worse here, just in terms of volume of fire. Last year, we didn't have any in our area, which was...
You got lucky last year.
Which was great. Yeah, but still pretty good. And we only have about another 3 weeks to go before you kind of feel like you're starting to get, quote-unquote, out of the woods and such things. So just fingers crossed. Every year we don't burn down here at the homestead is a win. That is for sure. Because it will one of these years.
You're doing your part and helping to thin it out for firewood.
Oh my gosh, big time. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. No, I mean, there's no allegedly to it. I'm perfectly within my legal right to take all this beetle kill down. So, yeah.
dead trees you don't need a permit to cut.
Right.
Or do you?
Well, you do up to a certain amount of cordage. I think it's 20 cord, and I cut down probably closer to 6 cord a year.
There you go. Check in with your Forest Service office to make sure you're permitted correctly.
Look at you. Did you just get on the clock?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
My Better at Life this week is for you. It's for Wilson. It's for Clinton. It's for Phil. All being flexible and helping covering everything while I was out this past week. And, you know, because I wanted to make our anniversary episode this year that much more special by putting it off just another week. And yeah, you guys did an outstanding job with the different shows. It was fun. You know, I've never had a chance to listen to an episode of What If without me in it. And so it right. was refreshing to hear you winging it just as much as I do every single week for that show.
Heck yeah. It was actually a really good time. And look, man, you owe us no thanks, man. You've been, carrying the lion's share of the water for all of us for, I mean, what is it since it's our 1500 year anniversary, about that long. So we appreciate you, man.
Well, it was a fun vacation. Now I'm locked in until another vacation coming up when my brother gets married here in October. But
yeah,
now I know that you guys will be able to carry it during the regular season as well.
Absolutely. We're here for you, man. You're going to have to let me know those October dates, so I'd be sure to not schedule a job during then. And then that way it'll be a little easier.
All right. Well, good show. I didn't choke on any of my... See, I choked on my Gatorade as we got started mm-hmm. with the show.
Yeah.
I did not have any more drinking problems just by sipping or Marshawn Lynch style throughout the show.
I can't seem to get my drinking problem to go away. It's prevalent every evening. I mean, it pretty much with every drink all times. Like I tend to choke on my drink like far too often. Like somehow I am easily confused with esophagus and windpipe. Like those two things, like I can't seem to separate those. And I get them confused all the time, apparently.
I do kind of want to know if this is an issue that other people have, because my wife always makes fun of me because when I'll take a drink, I think the problem is that I try and breathe and drink when I go to take a drink.
Right.
And that's not a good combination. You should breathe before you drink. Like if I really focus, if I purposefully take a breath or inhale through my nose and then take a drink, I'm good every time, but I don't always have that conscious thought to always do that every single time.
So apparently I need to do some more like breathing and meditation and that sort of thing so that I can have a little better control of my breathing while I'm drinking.
You need to try and do the Aaron Rodgers mushroom method just before every glass of water.
There you go. Why not? And anything that'll improve my drinking, I'm in on.
And with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.